All right, over in the 22nd chapter, verses 12 through 21 is our printed text today. Alpha and Omega. We've already established that God is sovereign, that Jesus is sovereign, and that Jesus is Jesus. That's a mouthful right there. But this morning, the authors have laid out our lesson so that we would once again, in the closing verses of chapter 22 of Revelation, the book that has revealed God to us for who he is, what he is, where he is, and what he's going to do, what he has done in time and what he will do in eternity. Chapter 22, we looked at the new heaven, and we fixed our eyes on the gloriousness of the new city and all that it had to offer. But John, you remember him, John, writer of the Johannine scripture, John on the Isle of Patmos, written some 60 years, this revelation, after the death of Jesus. This old timer, this 90-year-old man, is beginning to see dreams and visions of the future and contemplate what it would be like to be with his maker, his sustainer, the one who taught him and trained him and caused him to do the churchocentric work until he could meet him again, the one who promised him that he was coming back. John, this old man, shares with us a very powerful and impactful book, vision of what it would be like in the future. We've seen this glorious city that God has prepared for us. Jesus told us that he would go away and prepare this place for us. And then we see the new Jerusalem descend out of the heavens. And we see this tabernacle of God without a temple. There is the tree of life. And last week we saw a river of water, the sustainer of life. And then we saw that which was in the beginning, in the garden, now brought to full fruition, still maintaining eternal life as the tree of life stands in the midst of the city. John, oh, to see what John saw and to be able to describe it with such preciseness, to be able to give us the intimate detail of what's going on at this time in his life when he thinks that the return of Christ is imminent. He thinks it's imminent. He thinks it's right around the corner. But he knows when it comes, it will come. It will come in his time because he is the controller of all time, this Christ. One who comes in the closing verses of chapter 22 to just remind us how much we have to be thankful for. Pastor Jeffries this morning read out of Luke 17. And you know the story of 10 lepers who came to Jesus in an afflicted condition and was in fact sent away. And as they left, that's what it said, Sister Harris, as they departed, they were healed. And finding out that they were healed, one return to give thanks and worship, to give thanks of worship. And see, when you know who God is, really is, you can't help but thank him. As a matter of fact, it's a mortal sin to be in a condition other than thankful. In other words, ingratitude is a worse sin than revenge. Oh, I know, because ingratitude, revenge is trying to return evil for evil. But ingratitude is trying to return evil for good. Yeah, think about that for a minute. It is a worse sin to be unthankful, ungrateful, for what God has done and what he is doing. No matter what you experience in this life, know two things. There's a better life somewhere else. And the second thing is, as bad as this life is, it's the best one you got. And the life you live is because of the Savior that you serve. And the Savior that you serve is the same Savior who comes and gives John a revelation, something to encourage you and to excite you to hold on. Hold on to the end. And we can hold on and we can hang in there and we can be encouraged because Jesus is Alpha and Omega. Y'all don't get it. I'm thankful. I'm grateful that he is Alpha and Omega. Y'all get it. I'll come to it. It's there in the text somewhere. Somebody start reading for me so I can hear the word, you know, and we can share. In verse 1 there, y'all don't believe me, there's a declared sovereignty in this verse right here. Verse 12.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
God is in charge. Amen. And Jesus now declares that, look, see, that I come quickly. Not right now, but when I come, is quicker than right now. When I come, you need to be prepared. That's all he's telling John. Tell the people, write it down, that when I come, I'm coming back and I'll be up on you before you even know it. Two of you will be in the field and you look around and want to be gone. That's how quick it will be. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is declaring here that no man comes and moves as quickly as I do. Because I'm quicker than right now. You think Muhammad Ali could so fast that he could turn out the light and be in the bed before the lights go out. You could turn out the lights and I'm in the bed before he touched the light. Jesus says, I'm coming back and I'm coming quickly because I got this. I'm in charge of this. And the reason that I'm in charge of this is because of who I am. I'm the one triune God. I am the second person in the Godhead. God and I are one. Just as it was in the beginning, I am now and will ever be. I know I got Bible on my side there because I know if there's a 12 and a 14, there's got to be a 13. Jesus says, when I come back quicker than quick, I am going to reward every man according to what he's earned. In other words, I'm a faithful paymaster because I'm in charge. I'm in charge of the wages, and I'm in charge of the reward. When I come back, everybody, and that gives both a favorable and an unfavorable connotation. Everybody's going to get a reward. You're going to get paid. Just as Paul declared, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The reward is going to be there. Make sure that you're on the favorable rewarding side. Jesus further declares his sovereignty by saying in verse 13, the reason why I can give the reward, I'm in charge of the rewards department. I'm not putting a steward in charge. I'm not having anybody manage. I got this. You remember we had those shirts that we ran around when the first of the year? I got this, God. Jesus saying, I got this. Because verse 13 says,
I am
Wait a minute, we can stop right there. Jesus says, I am. And a matter of fact, after that I am, you can put anything. I am so much in charge. I'm so much in control of everything that you can put anything you want to after I am. But he says, I am. It's not an angel talking. It's not a John talking. It's Jesus talking. And Jesus says what? I am what?
Alpha.
First of all, I'm Alpha. I am the first letter of the alphabet. And I am what?
Omega.
I am the last letter of the alphabet. And as a matter of fact, because I am Alpha and Omega, I'm everything in between. Because you know what? If I just was Alpha and Omega, you'd confine me to two letters. He says, but you're forgetting. This is the same John that seen that wrote, in the beginning was the Word. And you can't have a word with just two alphabets. You can't have a lot of words with just, you have some words. But to have the Word, you need everything. So Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. And then he says what?
The beginning.
And just in case you don't know how your alphabets, you know, A is the beginning and Z is the end. But he says, I'm the beginning and the end. In other words, I started everything. I'll end everything. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? Because he says right after that, I am the beginning and end. He says, I'm the what? I'm the first?
And last.
I'm the first in everything. As a matter of fact, you can't even have salvation without me first. I generate. I'm a progenitor. You can't even have that life that you have right now without me. You can't have the life that you were born into this world in without me. Because when I say I'm the beginning, in other words, I was right there in the beginning. And you know what? There was none before me. And guess what? I am the end. There ain't none after me. So if I'm the beginning and the last, there won't be anybody before me, and there won't be anything or anyone to survive me. I have no survivors. There's not going to be. I am the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. That makes me in charge of eternity. Not only have I got this time thing wrapped up, I've got eternity wrapped up just because of who I am. Jesus says, I'm telling you, I'm sovereign. I got this. And you ought to be thankful that I'm sovereign. You know why we need to be thankful that Jesus is sovereign? Because if he wasn't sovereign, he couldn't do the things that he does. The little old wants and the little old desires, you know, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his, you know, he couldn't even do that if he wasn't sovereign. In other words, if he's sovereign, he not only controls my possessions, he controls me. God is in charge of me. Gives me free will, but he's in charge of me. He got this thing. So there's some things that you should only be just thankful for. And you could be thankful that Jesus is I am. He's everything. He never was. He never will be. He just is. Y'all don't hear me. He's got this thing. Jesus declares his sovereignty by saying, I am Alpha and Omega. But listen to what he says about those that understand who he is. Blessed. Now, wait a minute. Did he say blessed are those that say his commandments? In other words, that requires some obedience. How many of y'all work for somebody? Do you see what I see? So nobody works for anybody. Okay. How many y'all go up there telling y'all boss what to do? Don't hurt a company. They in charge, not you. He says, I am in the beginning. That means I am the progenitor. I created everything. I am the source of everything. You ought to be thankful just for who he is. And if you're thankful, you'll show that gratitude by obedience. So every time we disobey a command, we are showing ingratitude. And I just told you, ingratitude is worse than revenge. Keep reading. That you obey the commandments so that you have a right to the tree of life. Wait a minute. Didn't have a privilege, but it's a right. Privileges and rights are different. You know, we have a privilege of driving. I know it's a privilege. It's a privilege. See, people can take privileges from you. Oh, y'all ain't laughing because I know what it is to have a privilege taken away from you. But when you have a right, Sister Amanda, ain't nobody take nothing from you. And Jesus said, in other words, you have eternal access. Never again will it be said, don't touch the tree of life. As a matter of fact, you have the right to the tree of life if you obey these commandments, if you are in the will of God, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted salvation, if you've accepted the one who started salvation. Y'all don't hear me. This wasn't man's idea of salvation. This was Jesus' idea. As a matter of fact, I'd have to go back. I don't know what scripture I'd have to go to. I mean, I'm at a disadvantage. I'd have to go to a scripture to prove that he made everything. I wonder which one I would go to. John. He made all things. And there was nothing made that was made except it was made by him. Jesus started all of this, and he's saying, you have the right to the tree of life if you obey the commandments. And may what? You remember that pretty city that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks? That's the admission ticket. See, you have to obey the commandments. Because there won't be anybody in the city that's not obeying the commandments. So you need to start practicing obeying the commandments now. Because that's your ticket in, and it's your ticket to stay. We told you all that kind of stuff going to be put out. Ain't going to be no mess in heaven. Matter of fact, there's a big sign. Leave your mess where you came from. Matter of fact, they need to put this sign up in the church here. Leave your mess where you came from. Because here, obedience and compliance in the new city. So we have a right to the tree of life, and we have permanent access to the tree of life, and we have permanent access to our heavenly home. And he says, again, I can't help but describe the city. Let me tell you what won't be there. I told you last week what's going to be there. Tell me what won't be there, verse 15. Said it last week, said it again this week. You can be one of these if you want to. There's one thing you won't have to worry about, going to heaven. Bottom line, the thing that's most intriguing there and is the first couple of words of that verse there. Gee, it says, without dogs. Lord, have mercy, did they run with that? ain't no dogs in heaven. People start talking about, you know, no pets and all that. They got all that kind of stuff, you know. It ain't because of this verse. Trust me. The reason why your favorite pet won't be in heaven is not because of this verse, all right? let me just clear that up right now, okay? First of all, let me tell you what it does not mean. Those of you who are studies of the New Testament know that in many times, dogs referred to Gentiles. Yeah. So if that's what that dog's meant, that means ain't none of y'all gonna be there. Well, y'all are Gentile. So, but we know there is no contradiction in Scripture. Without being a great Bible scholar or anything, what's one Scripture? You know that Scriptures don't contradict one another. What's one Scripture that would defeat that idea? Let me give you a hint. It's over in the book of... Yeah, 3:16. It said whosoever. Whosoever means whosoever. So that would be a contradiction if it were meant for Gentiles. Let's look at it. John was often a quoter of Scriptures, and his frame of reference was the Scriptures. And so it had to be Old Testament. And if you recall, in Old Testament Scriptures, dogs were considered scavengers. People didn't have dogs running around as pets and all that kind of stuff. They were scavengers. Come in, steal your food, run off in the woods. Dogs. That's why the great preacher by Smith was, watch them dogs. But dogs also referred early in Scripture, the Old Testament, to male prostitutes. Yes. Absolutely. Deuteronomy. So what it had become to a term, because like I said, what words meant then, what they mean now, to represent any type of sexual immorality, but with a primary focus on prostitution, and it didn't distinguish genders. But originally, dogs were male prostitutes. They won't be in heaven. I can promise you that. But he goes on to further clarify, just in case some of y'all have changed y'all meaning, you know, when bad ain't bad no more. I'll tell you some other folk that aren't going to be there. And he says, the folk that won't be there, the folk that won't be troubling you, are sorcerers. Okay? Ms. Rudolph won't be there. Cleo won't be there. Sorcerers, witchcraft, drug users. As a matter of fact, one of the tertiary definitions, users of drugs won't be there. See, because if it's there, they would break the tranquility. They won't be there. Now, we ain't talking about former, so y'all can breathe a sigh of relief. Did Brother Reed go in his pocket and get it? Hey, Brother Reed, take your hand out your pocket, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that to me, Brother Reed. But these folk, any type of sin, folk, it was just a summary way of saying, any type of sin won't be there. It's incompatible with the new heaven. It's incompatible where you have now been saved from the very presence of sin. Sin has no place in glory. Has no place. Okay, so he stated that he's sovereign. Let's see what else we got there. What else if Jesus is sovereign? 16 says, what? And for those of you who may not be sophisticated enough to understand Alpha or Omega, you know, those of you that are not Greek, and you may not understand that I'm telling you again who I am. I am the one that sends this message. I am the root out of the offspring of David. I am God, yet I came out of the loin of David. Wait a minute. How can that be? Only Jesus can testify this. Jesus is testifying again. The reason why you can trust what I'm saying is because I am God. I know you. I know everything about you. I know your desires. I know your wants. I know what you want to be. I know what you could be. I know what you will be. I know everything about you because of my human connection. But I'm also a bright and morning star. See, you remember up there in 13 where it says, I am. I told you could put anything. He's now talking about he's out of the root of Jason. He's out of the root of David, which means he's out of the root of Jesse, which means that Isaiah was right when he said he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. He has no beauty that we should desire him. Yet we despise him. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our, Isaiah saw all of this, and now John is seeing it. John is confirming what Isaiah saw. And he says, I'm all of that. I'm all of that. That's who I am. And you can trust what I'm saying because of who I am. Now, to some folk, you don't trust them because of who they are. Let me go right back up here. Y'all give me a sec. Let me get my eyes together here. There will be no whosoever loveth and make it a lie. That's why they're not going to be there. Because you can't trust them. See, people who spread lies will cause discontentment. Can't have no one in it. And Jesus says, you can trust me for who I am. You can trust me for who I am. What I'm telling you is the pure, unadulterated truth. It's truth. I'm the bright morning star. You know that bright morning star is that star that appears right after the darkest part of the night. When you're in your worst condition, I'm right there. You can trust me. You can trust me in the dark. It's some folk you can't trust in the dark. And some of y'all, I love y'all. As long as the light is on, I'm fine. But you know, Sister Ogletree led me in here this morning, to this darkness, I'm listening for voices, and I wish I would speak up a little bit more, especially Tribble, if you're back there. I need to hear your voice. I need to know where you are if you're on this side. Okay, all right, bless you. I feel better now. Because some folk you can't trust in the dark. But Jesus says you can trust even your worst enemy in the dark because I am the bright and morning star. Let me tell you, that when grandmama would read this, she said, yeah, he is the bright and morning star. But ain't he the rose of Sharon too? He's the lily of the valley. He's everything you want him to be. This Jesus you can trust. Verse 17 says, you know, Fred, it's amazing. Even through these things, I can see your smile. Because, see, you know what, folks? Y'all may think that you can just come to church and worship and, hear the word and go on out about your business. But Jesus says, you just heard my bio. You know my conditions for getting into the city. Now go. Every time Jesus delivers a great sermon, he says, go. He's telling you who he is, but he's also showing you what your responsibilities are. Look, y'all look right here. Because this is it, folks. Here's what John says that Jesus says in his revelation. He says, and the Spirit and the bride come. And let them that hear it, who is them? The Spirit and the bride. The bride is the church. The Holy Spirit indwells us, hears a word, and then convicts us to go. He that hear, let him go and invite. Say and come. Folks, that's evangelism. That's just pure evangelism. Here Jesus is saying, don't ever forget, as long as you're on this side of eternity, that you got to evangelize. That I'm sovereign, but you have a responsibility. I'm in charge of it, and my charge is for you to go. Go up to Mississippi. Oh, go down to Mississippi and tell them. When you get back to Mississippi, come back to resurrection and say, it's just good to be here among the saints. See, go tell them what you heard. That's all evangelism is. You don't want to do evangelism? Wait a minute. You don't want to be obedient to the commandments. It wasn't, I really wish you guys would go and tell the world. Jesus says, go! Do you know what go means? Go! Get up out of here. Make disciples. Teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I'm going to be with you. You know why? Because I sent the Spirit to indwell the church. Y'all don't hear me? Ah, this Jesus is somebody else. Sovereign? And we think Jesus got all the sovereignty, Terry? But we ain't got no responsibilities. No, Jesus says you got to be responsible. As long as you inhale and exhale, you ought to be out there telling what you heard. You ought to go out there and tell them today's sermon. You ought to go out there and tell them today's Sunday school lesson. Because if you heard it, you ought to go out and tell it. And whosoever, what? Is athirst. And let him that is athirst, what? He that's thirsty, let him come. Because see, you know what? The world, that's all it is out there. They say that we don't drink enough water. And if we don't drink enough water, that means we must be walking around thirsty. All right. If you look at the world, they're not partaking of the living water. Right. So they're thirsty. So Jesus, in one fell swoop here, he said, there's only two types of people in the world. Those that thirst and those that don't. If they're thirsty, come. You up there worried about the rest? No, you need to hydrate your body. You need to put some water in your body. If you don't have water, you will. If you don't have the living water, you are dead. Jesus is just reminding us. And he says, you tell the churches that the Spirit is still working in them. And they got a responsibility. They got to go out and tell what they know. It does no good to keep this all pent up. It does no good for you to know who Jesus is and you don't go out and tell anybody. I'm going to say it one more time. Cause I ain't hear nothing over there. There probably ain't nobody sitting over there. But I know there's some people over there because at least my wife is over here. That it does you no good to hear all of this and then don't go out and tell anybody. It doesn't do you any good to get all of this and then just sit up in here. 3.5 years of evangelism? We should be having a whole bunch of telling it, folks. You get out there and tell it. And you know what? You can't tell what you don't know. I promise you that. Because if you tell what you don't know, that's a lie. You don't know that to be the truth. You know, I've been talking about Jesus, praying a big old cross, Jerry. Jesus. People don't know anything about Jesus. You know, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. Man, I ain't know how Jesus plays Alpha. Don't know nothing. But if you know it, you ought to go and tell it. For I, listen, listen, y'all. For what? I
testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book.
Uh-huh.
If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him a plague that are written in this book.
Have you gone back and read the plagues, Sister Marshall, that are in this book? There's some kind of plagues in this book. Let me tell you one thing. It ain't it. Stephen King and all the boys, they ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing on what comes out of this Bible. Oh, man. You're talking about some sci-fi freaky stuff. Oh, it's here. But here's what Jesus says as he's preparing to come back for us. I'm telling you, what's written in this book is the truth. And any man that thinks he's sovereign enough, any man who would challenge me in my sovereignty by changing one word in this book, he ain't seen no plagues yet. He said, because if you think the plagues are bad in this book, I got something else in this bag. I got a plague. That plague of hell is going to be something else. That ain't what y'all think it is. You know, all them people that think there ain't no hell. I just don't believe a loving God would send his creation to hell. Well, they're the same folk who believe that it's got air conditioning too. You know, don't make no sense. Don't make no sense whatsoever. He says, don't mess with this word. Because see, in this word is life. You're messing with life and death when you mess with this word. And all those jackals, yes, I call them jackals, who run around, got their own versions of the Bible, who try to change pronouns and who God is and all of that. Oh, they should read chapter 22, verse 9 and 19. Start at 18. And they should just read. Because God's got something for them. There's a special, you know what you're talking about? You got a cooling off period. They got a hot box. Got a penalty box. Got a penalty box for them. Because look how many people you can mislead. You know what, folks? Let me tell you one thing. I attend the local congregation called the Resurrection Baptist Church. And the reason I love this church is because from day one, the day I got here, it was a teaching church. It was compatible with what I had been brought up in because I came out of a teaching church. People who valued what I would call religious education. So when I got here and I found a church who valued spiritual education, period, amen, who valued relationship rather than religion, I stuck here. I ain't going nowhere. This is it. My next move, Fort Sam. I ain't going nowhere. My hand right here. And there'll be somebody there. Terry and Tracy, they'll be teaching the class. I'll be right here. I hear you. Go get it, T. Get it. Right here. Because if you stop teaching the word, the pure word, do you see how much peril you can bring into the lives of folk? This is why Jesus puts this warning here. Don't mess with my word. The flowers will fade. The grass will wither. But the word of God shall last forever. And if you got jackals who's sitting around trying, and look how many of them tried to stop it. They done everything to try and stop it. People are burning and roasting right now following somebody who wanted to jack up the word. I'm telling you, those people down in Guyana, Sister Marshall, you remember we were doing the traumatic time when that happened. And some people in our church at that time had relatives. They're going to go lose their lives, T. Because some guy want to sit up there and fascinate them with the word. And you know what they do? They always go to the book of Revelation. And people be like, ooh, I don't want to stand no Revelation. I'm scared. What you scared of? You scared of the truth. You scared of light and life. Because that's what Revelation is. Revelation is an opening of the eyes to life. And Jesus says, it is so precious that if you scoundrel, you didn't say that, Jesus. You didn't call him a scoundrel. That was my own edit. If you add anything, if you bad enough to take something away, that's going to take away from the sovereignty, take away from who God is. In other words, you want, I believe the Bible. I just don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you don't believe John, and that puts you at odds with me right out the bat. You can't be coming. See, there were certain folks, I wouldn't let them come to my house. Oh, yeah, because I know they want to mess around with the scriptures. So then one day, and I think I may have told you guys before, two ladies and two young girls, they knocked on my door. Oh, could we be with you? And I said, Okay. Wait, what we got? Well, I would just like to read a scripture to you. And I said, okay. What Bible are we going to use? Oh, I can read right. I said, hold on just a minute. You can read the scripture if you read it out of my Bible. Oh, I can do that. And I said, what scripture are you going to run to me? She said, let's just go to the book of John. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's a good day. That's a real good day. I told you, this is the honest truth. These ladies, they got there, and so the first thing they wanted to do, and they says, we'll just start right here in John 1:1. In the beginning was a word. And bingo! They never recovered. Here's what happened. I said, that's real good. Can I have my Bible back? Oh, no, we can, you know. I said, okay. I really don't need it anyway. I said, in the beginning was the Word. Do you realize the is a definite article? It can't be substituted for A. It changes the meaning. The lady was like, and when we got through, the lady was like this. Wait a minute, y'all got to get there. The little girls was like this. Boy, I said, oh, Lord, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, that dang thing was shouting. Come to find out, mosquitoes was biting them. But it's all right. You cannot mess with this word. You can't do it. Because you see, that's what they do. That's what all the cultists do. They try to change some key elements of the word, and that's what gets you. And that's why you have to know the word. That's why we teach 12 weeks of scriptures, so that you will know the word, you will understand the word, that you won't get over into when you go to the one that Pleasant and them, cult, 105 cults. Identify a cult that flips scriptures and twists scriptures. You got to know how people twist, and you got to know that. And all those folk who twist and flip, they're violating 22. And there's a plague from. And it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And that's why I told you last week, I don't believe that folk that are saved would ever do this. See, so, okay, now dead silence. Yeah, all them spiritual miscreants. That's what I call them, Trib. All them spiritual thugs who get up there and who try to sway you in a particular way by twisting God's word, by changing God's word, by questioning the deity of Christ, I can't handle them. I have no place for them, because I ain't going with them. I won't be, they can't even come visit me. These folk, the only thing these folk need to do, that do that, they need to fall on their knees and they ought to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Doesn't mean that you haven't done it. That ain't what he's talking about. As long as you stay in this state of denying the truth of the word of God, the ones that are printed in this prophecy writ, Jesus says, I'll have nothing to do with you. And when God don't want nothing to do with you, you know I don't want nothing to do with you. God? Who has something to do with me? He accepts me? But if God says, I don't want nothing to do with you, if you know, you know, if you were having one of those moments, you know, where you go and you talking to God, and you know, you might be saying, Lord, I've been praying for sister so-and-so and so. If the Lord tell you, don't bring her back here no more. Don't bring her back there no more. That means that God don't want nothing to do with her. Verse 20. One interesting fact, then we can go. All right. He look at this doxology. Look at this closing to what are such a marvelous book. Jesus has told us that he's sovereign. He's outlined our responsibilities that attest to his sovereignty. He warns those that are against who he is. And then he says, everything I said is the truth. Now, Jerry, you may not believe it, but Jerry, that's the truth. You got to believe it. And so much so, here's what he says. Surely, I come quickly. I'm coming quicker than some of y'all think. Some of y'all ain't preparing. Ain't prepared and are not preparing. But I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Y'all, that didn't excite y'all? Let me tell you why that excites me. We know, what have we been taught in Baptist? What about amen?
Witnessing to the truth.
Witnessing to the truth. Somebody else said something else? Let it be so. Let it be so. Anybody else? I agree. Yes. Who said that? That's right. Yeah. I agree. But do you know, in studying this week's lesson, I found out something about that amen that I really didn't know. Jesus, the same one who's talking here, uses that word more than 25 times during his earthly ministry. It was him that said, it is so. That gave me a new perspective. See, because when you're the Word, you are the Word. You can say it's so. In other words, Jesus said, if I could tell you a mosquito can pull a plow, you hit him up. Because it's so. If I tell you I can speak to a mountain and the mountain be removed, it is so. Amen. 25 times. Nobody else uses it that much. Not even close. He uses it 25 times in one chapter. I wonder what book that would be. Oh, John. Yeah. It is so. Here's what he says. What I've told you is the truth. I've told you I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That's the truth. I told you that I'm coming back again in full glory. That is the truth. I've told you that I'm going to rapture my church. The church is going to reign with me. We're going to reign for 1,000 years. Jesus said, it is true. Everything I've told you is the truth. It's the truth because it came from the truth. Let it be. Y'all didn't get it. It says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. If God said it, let it be. If God spoke it, it's true, folk. You can run these old ragtag lives all you want to and think this world is all there is. And, you know, you got the right person in the White House and you got the right person in the courthouse and you hooked up. But in a flash, in an instant, your world can be changed. And you'll be standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to say one or two things. He's going to say, come. Or he's going to say, get away from me. I knew you not. You didn't know me. So now, forget about it. Come. Come, let us adore him. We ought to be thankful that he's Alpha and Omega, because he takes care of all of our lives in this life. We ought to be thankful that he is Alpha and Omega, because he has prepared a place to take us in our next life, a life with him eternally. God bless you, and God keep you.